Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit under the weather, not contagious, to my knowledge. If it is, just make sure your heart's right with God. No, I actually kind of like it. I haven't eaten in 2 days, so that's probably a good thing. Except for, never mind, I won't get gross. Cheers. No, I decided that I needed to teach this message because I didn't want to live another week like this week. You know, I've been teaching on the fruits of the Spirit. Well, it kind of got shifted. Actually, it's still incorporated underneath what I have is what I call sermon series. It's still incorporated under the sermon series of justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification being everything Christ did for us on the cross is complete and over and done. Thank you, Jesus. And then sanctification is where we're at. Glorification is when we get to heaven, so that's all cool because we'll be glorified. Sanctification, though, here's what's so funny. And as you know, and you study Scripture, I'm going to help you with this. And it's sad that I get in the grip on this so late in life, but you know, though, we're in the Scripture where it says that Jesus took care of sin on the cross, right? And we're like, I get that, but man, I get that we still sin. But can I just tell you this? Throw that first scripture up. Sorry, walking through this thing that we've been doing, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. I left love out for now, but we've done joy, we've done peace, patience. Last week was kindness, woohoo. This week is goodness. I don't even want to look to see what next week is. Because what has happened is through the whole process of this, I've been walking through in my life stuff that are helping me with this. What I have learned out of this, going back to what I originally said, is this. I don't have time to sin. That sounds silly, but I'm so focused on this and becoming everything that He wants me to be. It gets in my way. I'll help you here. Let's go to the goodness here. So listen, the word good, like the word love in our language, has a plethora of meanings, right? I actually wrote them down so you could read them. Here's what good means to us. We use the word good to indicate competence. They're good at math. Reliability, those are good breaks. Strength, good eyesight. Kindness, good of you to come. Moral quality, good deed, good works. Behavior, good child. Enjoyment, a good party. Thoroughness, gave it a good wash. Beneficial, milk's good for you. Soundness, a good reason. Freshness, the fish is still good. Worthiness, good old George. Attractiveness, good looking. Promise, good news. A desirable end, sacrificing the present for the future good. And then favor, which is a good review. In fact, just so you know, in my realm of influence, good actually means bad, because we say a good fire when it's a bad fire, or a good wreck when it's a bad wreck. You get what I'm saying? So this whole word good to us in our language and in our understanding and in our culture is completely different than what God is talking about in this whole thing called goodness. So what is the fruit of goodness? Well, I'm glad you asked. Agathousane. The root word is agathos, which is where, if you know anybody named Agatha, that's where the root comes from, which is what it means. It literally means a zealous activity in doing good. It's virtue equipped at every point. And again, the root word is agathos. Goodness is not just doing good things, it's doing right things. Goodness overlaps kindness, and it brings fullness to its meaning. In other words, kindness is incorporated in goodness, as is all the others prior to this, to be honest with you. So kindness is incorporating goodness, but goodness gives it a fuller, puts meat on the bones, if you will. All right? So goodness is more than excellent character. It's character that's energized and expresses itself in actively doing good. So I practice this all week. Agathosus, agathusane, yaha. And you know, speak in tongues, there you go. But let me show you this. It will reprimand. Believe it or not, this word goodness reprimands to produce good in others. In other words, like a parent who corrects their child, they're correcting so that they'll become responsible. That there can be goodness in that. In fact, Paul links goodness with knowledge and with instruction. Here's what Paul said. He said, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of agathosune, you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish, nutheteo, one another." Now that word is an interesting word to me. This word, because here's what it means. It means admonish, absolutely. Obviously it wouldn't have been translated that way. It means admonish, but incorporated in that, let's put some meat on that too. It's advice, it's counsel. Now here's what's so funny. It's reprimand and encouragement. See, that is such a weird thing, isn't it? How can it be encouraging and it be reprimanding? But here's what I want you to know. Jesus, agathosune, when he chased the dudes out of the temple, just so you know, he didn't really chase the dudes out of the temple. We'll show you this. But that's what he did when he cleansed the temple. In fact, Gay kind of touched on this. She touched on this story Wednesday night, which I kind of smiled because this story was already in my brain concerning this whole goodness thing. But here's the story that we all know. It says it was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. So Jesus went to Jerusalem, and in the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice. He also saw dealers and tables exchanging foreign money. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, by the way, there's these small cords, and when they'd make them big, that when ships would dock, rather than throw it over, they would just cut them loose because it's just made out of straw. So he made this scourge, and he drove them. This is what's important. And he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen. Now here's where I want you to understand something. This is not in Jesus' character to take a whip and drive people anywhere. You hear what I'm saying? It makes completely no sense. But you're going to see pictures from the old days where he's chasing them around, chasing the people. That word "and" is the Greek word te, T-E. And it also means both. So now pay attention. He also saw the dealers at the table. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. To prove my point farther, here we go. Then going over to the people who sold doves, well, wait a minute, didn't he just chase them out? No, come on. But he chased those animals out because that's the only thing animals understand. If you have an animal in your life, get a whip. So, well, a preacher told me to whip you. So then going over to the people who sold the doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. And then his disciples, remember the prophetic word in Scripture. Passion for God's house has consumed me. That's out of Psalms. Passion for God's house has consumed me. That literally is passion for God's people, for mankind, has literally eaten me up. The passion that Jesus had for mankind was eating his lunch. Why? And again, I told you Gay touched on it because Gay was talking about anger on Wednesday night. Jesus' anger flowed from his agathosune, flowed from his goodness, because he was angry at the effect that they were having on others. He wasn't angry at them, he was angry at the end result. This is what drives me crazy about people who don't know Jesus and don't know God. Everybody thinks God is this big angry God. God is angry, but he's not angry at mankind. He's angry at sin because of what sin does to mankind. Jesus was angry. He was angry because they were stealing the people's money. They were giving him less than. So now let's go to my life before I started studying this week. Monday. Well, actually, believe it or not, after tonight, I'll start like looking at the next one, which I already know is faithfulness. God, I don't want to go there. So I'm in this goodness, right? So I haven't studied, I haven't looked at it, really looked at it, and then I had a real simple situation happen on like Monday when I just, you know, looked at the word goodness, agathosune, learned how to say that, Steve, so you can impress everybody. Agathosune. And I had an issue online with an insurance company, my insurance company. Their technology wasn't working correctly. Every time I would click, it would get me almost to where I wanted to go. I wanted to see what my coverage was and what I owed. And I'd get to that page, and then I'd click it, and it'd throw me right back to the login page. So Steve's not happy. So I get on the app, and the app actually works, which probably aggravated me more. And again, so bottom line is, I simply emailed them, because they had actually sent me an email about my coverage, because it was coming up. I emailed them back and said, look, because they said, here's your coverage you can look at for the, and I said, thank you. And as soon as the website works, I will be able to look at it. Because, you know, the website's not working. I wasn't ugly at all, but again, that goodness thing still hadn't studied. It was still stuck in the back of my brain. And they emailed me back. Here's the number, call tech. And so Steve emails them back. And I've got goodness in the back of my brain. And I said, so the customer is supposed to chase down the fix for the one who's providing it? And then I just said, I think not, and that was it. But see, that even after I studied goodness was not that good. Right? So then I keep studying, and I'm really starting to understand that goodness does bring correction, but man, it flows out of a whole different area than we normally bring correction. It flows out of a whole different area. Because sometimes, and when you know you kind of got that it's flowing right, you can correct something and they don't even know they've been corrected. Right, so meantime, we fast forward. Now it's Tuesday, fast forward Tuesday. I study a lot, by the way, and I'm already getting this. And again, I don't have time to sin now. I'm trying to get this. And so I'm working on getting Gay a car, right? And you can ask her, I spend tons of time making sure I got all my, well, in fact, the last two vehicles I've ever bought, I actually bought online, totally online. I just told the dealer, if that's the truth, you're giving me that for that, I'll show up. I wasn't there 15 minutes. But with Gay, she needed a test drive, you know, and that's cool. I was good with it. So I've got it down to a science. I've got every piece of paper I need to have to prove them wrong. The coolest thing is it's 0% interest. So that's one area where they couldn't get you, you know what I'm saying? Because you'll get a great price, and they'll go, yeah, well, the interest rate's 18%. It's like, wait a minute, no. So they couldn't get you there. So we show up. I have in my hand exactly what I'm willing to pay according to what they had online, blah, blah, blah. So we start talking stuff, and this guy says to me, he quotes me this price, it's $3,500 more. And I said, and again, goodness is finally understanding, so Steve's good. I said, that's not the price you have online. And again, I have everything printed, so I showed him that. He goes, well, we have upcharges. And then he starts rattling them off to me. And I said, that's not going to work for me. I said, this is the price. Anyway, but here's what's so cool. During it, I said, you know what? And again, I was honest, it was coming out of an area that I didn't know was in me. Because normally in me is you guys, you know, but I said you guys, because this is true too. I said you guys have a horrible reputation, and you have a great reputation online. And I said, by the way, all the other ones do too. So you know, you just happen to be the ones we picked to come to, because they do, you know, because all the ones are ripping me off, and then there's those that, oh, it was all good, you know. So and I said, but here's what you need to understand. If you're not going to be honest online with the price, if you should put those upcharges online at the price. That way people will be able to, and I said, and I'm, you know, I don't want to get in your business, but man, you can't do that. You know, and the coolest thing is through the whole negotiation, I got it back down where it was supposed to be anyway. But I didn't have, you know, Pigpen, Charlie Brown's Pigpen? I didn't have that cloud over me after dealing with him, because I promise you it's because I'm asking Jesus, I really want this goodness, right? I want this. And so I was kind of proud. in a good way, that, hey, I didn't ream him. Second, the honest truth that was coming out of my mouth was a concern for other people. Quit trying to rip people off. And that's probably not really goodness. And then the last hurrah, holy smoke. That's why I said, I don't care how sick I was today. If I had to lay down in the bed and teach this, I'm getting this out of me. Friday. I think it was Friday. I'm sitting in my office. And I hear this squealing and stuff. I hear that sometimes because sometimes people have wrecks and stuff. And I knew. Everything in me didn't want to go look. I'm telling you the truth. Because I've had an experience in my parking lot before with guys that were throwing all of their vehicles into our parking lot to have an auction. No permission, no nothing. And I went off. And we'll just call it righteous indignation, right? That's bull. That really is bull. So, I look out there, and this real nice, fancy, schmancy, whatever, like a Mach 4 Mustang or something, just doing donuts in the parking lot. Now, in the past, I get aggravated when they park over there to go to lunch across the street. Never say nothing. I'm like, God, this is beyond grace now. So I go back in. And I'm mad at God. I'm being so honest. I'm like, no. I'm telling him I'm not going out there. They'll be gone soon. So I sit back down. Here it goes again. And I'm like, all right. So I go out. Sure enough, I go out. Actually, this is terrible. Well, not terrible. I wanted some authority, and I don't have authority. So I have a badge, and so I opened my truck, got my sunglasses, because I didn't want to see how mad I was. I'm telling you the truth, y'all. And I put on my badge, because I wanted them to know I had a little authority. And they saw me, and there's a pickup truck sitting there that was videoing this guy. And so I walk as calm. I'm telling you, I'm glad I had sunglasses on, because I'm fire, man. And again, I'll finish the story and tell you why. I get to, I'm figuring he sees me and he's gonna leave. I just slowly walk the car and he stops. He just car and window goes down. I am so sorry, sir. I said, sorry for what? What did you do? Why are you having to apologize to me? We were doing a video for this. And I was calm, thank you, Jesus. And I said, do you understand? Number one, you didn't get permission. Number two, you're tearing up our parking lot, and we're not a rich church, sir. Man, I'm so sorry, And he was, look, his sorrow was legit. It wasn't like David when he got caught. He was legit. Because the truth is, he could have drove off when I walked out there. He really could have. And so... But as I'm sharing it, I honest to goodness don't remember everything I said to him because it, honest to goodness, wasn't about honest to goodness. How funny is that? that's great. Wow, that really is funny, man. But it wasn't. It really wasn't about me. I just had this mental picture in my heart of y'all that, you know, some churches, you just cut a check, man. And you guys faithfully give, and it's time to give a little gratitude. You faithfully give. Now, you might only give $40 because you only make $400 a week, but it's not the point. The point is you give, and you sacrificially give some of you. And I just can't tell you what that means to me. Well, I figured out what it meant to me when this guy's spinning donuts in the lot. I don't know if any of that's goodness, but... That's why I don't care how bad I feel, I'm getting this one out. I went through the joy one. That was terrible. I say terrible. Which, by the way, gave you a homework last week. Did any of y'all go home and listen to your spouse or listen to them? Okay. I'm not giving homework this week. God help. They'll be like shooting your window out, and somehow you're going to have to be good about it and go out there and say, well, you know, I accidentally just read an article that was so funny. This is where we are today, and this is where goodness has to rise up. I just read this article where this kid, 19-year-old kid, an American veteran that has a car wash, he stole one of his big flags from there, right? Well, the guy had the camera, so he puts it on Facebook. So the kids, everybody knows who the kid is, and the kid contacts him and says, if you'll take that off Facebook, I'll bring back your flag. But here's what the kid said. He said, when he called him, he said, I'm the one that accidentally took your flag. That really is where we are. It's Jim and Joy. I don't know if y'all have seen the video that Jim and Joy, my granddaughter, Tiffany and Jake, they live in Weatherford, but they have this video where she goes to the trash can, she pulls out this chocolate ice cream, right? And she's sitting there eating, it's all over her, and her dad comes up with the camera and goes, Jimma, where'd you get that chocolate? What chocolate? That chocolate that's all over your face? No, anyway, that's just where we are, right? So that's why I said I wouldn't wish that on you, but hopefully this will help you become aware more and more and more of this thing called sanctification. Goodness is beyond kindness, because it's almost like it's steps, because if we can honestly become kind, then we can honestly give instructions out of the kindness and goodness of us. And I'll show you that right here in Scripture, but I just wanted to give you my wonderful week thus far, and we'll see what happens next week. So Donut Man, by the way, I call him Donut Man. I finished my thing. He sincerely heard every bit of it. And I reached out and fist bumped him. And then, no. I reached out and popped him in the face and said, don't ever do that again in the name of Jesus. That's what I wanted to do. Ah! You get it? You get why you don't have time to sin when you're doing this kind of stuff? I don't have time. I don't have time to sit around and look at porn and stuff. I don't have time. Trying to be good to a guy that's doing donuts in my parking lot. Yeah! Donuts! Not just parking. We had a guy a couple of weeks back parked an 18-wheeler, left it running. I call PD. PD comes out after 5 hours of this thing running. We go around it, and PD's like, I don't think there's anybody in it. And I said, well, check the door. So we opened the door. It was unlocked. Thing's running. Call out AA, fixing to tow it up, pulls this guy and his girlfriend / wife, whatever she was. Oh, man, we just bought a car from these guys, and we just went down and had to take the other car back. 6 hours it took you, sir? Fortunately for me, PD got him. They're like, dude, you were fixing to be towed, you know. And of course, there's a little oil on the ground, and Steve Van Zandt's angry. I wish I'd have talked goodness then, because maybe I wouldn't have had to done the donut thing. You get it. And I'm so protective of our parking lot. How weird is that? But I just really am. Anyway. Yeah. What happened? Well, the preacher shot this dude in the head out in the parking lot because he spilled some oil. But he blessed him. He said, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't, you better get to know him because you're fixing to meet him. That is so wrong. My wife, I don't even look over there. I'm almost feeling better. It's kind of weird too. Okay. So let me get straight back here. So, goodness flows with humility through love, not knowledge. I want you to grab that in your brain, your phronio. Goodness flows with humility through love, not knowledge. Here's a great scripture to show this, what I'm talking about. So the Apostle Paul, what he's talking about here, oh, good catch. Everybody's been arguing about what, I don't want to get in a big, long, hairy thing here, but he's talking about those who are free in Jesus can eat things and do things that those who are still walking under with no freedom, blah, blah, blah. And Paul's making it clear, but Paul makes it completely, totally clear that yes, you though you're more free than the other ones, if you do something that offends them, if you drink a beer or you smoke a cigarette or whatever that causes them to stumble, then you're the one that's in trouble, not them. Okay? So he gives all this explanation. So he's talking to those that have been set free, and he says, now regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols, because that was the big deal back then. People were offended that had just come to know Christ. They were offended if you ate any kind of meat that was offered to some kind of idol. All right, now once Jesus came, they were totally set free. They could eat anything they want. Jesus made that very clear. But it's not the point, and that's what Paul is making. He says, now regarding your question about food that's been offered to idols, yes, we know that we have all knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it's love that strengthens the church. That's where goodness flows. Again, goodness flows out of that love. Prideful knowledge spews self-righteous demands, but goodness will guide to knowledge to build up rather than to destroy. All of this was in my system, by the way, when I got to Donut Man, and most of it was in my system when I got to Car Man, and none of it was in my system when I did the... Which, by the way, also on Friday, now that I think about it, I didn't even have time to do this one. I order online from Vitacost because they have coconut water and almond milk that I'm trying to eat healthy and do healthy, right? And I always order from them, and I get it in, and Chuck's picked it up. You saw the bottom was soaked, right? Did you see it? Didn't you take that? Oh, you probably dropped. You probably the one that busted it. Now that I think about it, it was probably perfectly fine till it got here, and you dropped it on the ground. Anyway, there's another problem with goodness. Goodness has to be incorporated with people you know too. On drag. But anyway, so I had a couple of the coconut waters were busted. Well, it soaked everything. But I've already done Donut Man, so this one's a piece of cake. I just get online. Hey, Vitacost. And this is exactly what I said. Vitacost, not mad at all. Just want you to know, I had a couple of bottles that were busted into my thing, soaked everything, but I'm good with the other stuff that's soaked. It'll dry out. But, you know, within 45 minutes, I get an email back with a tracking number of them sending me two more coconut waters. Wow. Now, I got a feeling if I would have said, you sorry jerks, you feel me, you feel me. I got a feeling that would have drug out to about 2 or 3 days. I still would have got them, I'm sure. And I'm hoping that they're going, did you read what this guy said? I'm surprised they did. They should give me extra coconut water. In fact, I think I'll... Let me just say this. The fruit of goodness doesn't chew out. It tenders out the truth. Okay? So, goodness in the real world, that's where we are, right? What is goodness in the real world? Well, as we know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are grown internally, and then they show on the outside. In fact, you'll notice when Jesus was ever rebuking the church, he was always talking about how they're pretty outside, but inside they're not, right? Because he's trying to make a point. And then you know, when he said that about what you take in doesn't defile you, but what spews out of you, because it's already in there, you get it. So it's prior to outward goodness will be internal goodness. You can't fake it. Our nature fruit is bad. The Greek word is paneros. And that's our nature that we're born into. That is evil. It's wicked. It means it causes pain and trouble. Anything we do in our flesh, come on, it does cause us trouble. But the Holy Spirit fruit is good. It's called kalos. And it means genuine, morally good, precious. Watch this. It's beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life. And it's approved by God. But here's what's interesting when I look at this scripture. There, in this particular scripture I'm talking about that Jesus was sharing, the bad tree, the word that he used in that is sapros. And it literally means rotten, corrupt, unfit for use. Sapros. And that's this tree bed. I'll show you here in the scripture in a minute. But the good tree he talks about in this is the word agathos, which is good. The word goodness is. And it means good, joyful, upright, useful. So here's what I want you to see. Bad, not useful. Good, useful. Because that's what it is. Here's the scripture. We all know it. Jesus did it and we love it. He says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, he's explaining it, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A agathos tree, isn't that weird? See, he's naming the tree goodness. An agathos tree produces good fruit, kalos, I'll tell you what that is. And a bad tree, sapros, evil bad tree, produces panera fruit, right? But watch, 18. An agathos tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit, no matter how fruity-tooty we think we are. You get it? So there should be some hope in there for you. If you allow the goodness of Christ inside you and the Holy Spirit resides in you, then goodness is in there even if you do slip up and do yell at somebody at some point in time. Because you can't produce bad fruit from something good. But by the same token, if you just all evil and you just trying to proclaim you're not and you're all that and you're good, you can't produce good stuff either. So the truth is the good fruit comes from the goodness tree, if you will. And where does a tree come but from rooted in Christ? Jesus talked about that in chapter 15 of John. You're rooted in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Stay in me and you'll produce fruit. Get outside of me, you'll never produce fruit. It was that simple. That's what he said. So look at this next scripture. Matthew 12. Jesus is talking to the church guys again. He says, you snakes, how can you, being Paneros, speak what is agathos? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills its heart. You know what's in your heart? I'll tell you when you're in your heart. It's one thing that somebody cuts you off in traffic and you flip them a bird or something. But it's another thing when you're almost got T-boned and what comes out of your mouth. There might be a curse word come out if it's 10 seconds, but if it's right on top of you, it's Jesus. Amen. You get it. I'm speaking from a man of experience here. So you know, my perfection is far beyond mortal men. Thank God it's in Him. So the good man brings out good treasure out of his storehouse. So the agathos man brings out of his storehouse what's good. And the evil brings out of his evil storehouse what's evil. There can't be both. You're going to know who you are and what you are. That's just kind of the way that this thing happens. So the bottom line is, the point I'm trying to make in all of this is this. What's inside comes outside, not vice versa. And man, for years we were taught vice versa. Come on, man. I mean, I'm from the days when a good church woman would stack their hair and wear long dress, you know, it just be 5 years behind time in style and you were holy. Inside, you could be full of dead men's bones, as Jesus said. But as long as you look the part, I was raised on that. And as a child, didn't really understand it. Because though they looked the part, they weren't acting the part. And I didn't know what the acting the part was because all I knew is what I had heard Jesus supposed to be. And I wasn't seeing it. So, here's what I love, though, here in Scripture. I want to give you two. I'm almost finished here. There's two Scripture I want to give you of two people that had agathos, that were good, goodness. And the first one is, her name's Tabitha. Is Tabitha here? Tabitha? This is who she is. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is called Dorcas. Great. You have a choice between calling her a Aramaic Tabitha or the Greek Dorcas. Who are you going to pick, please? This is terrible. I don't know any Dorcases. Well, depends on the definition. But I do know some Tabithas. So, she was always doing agathos. Things. Agathos is always attached to things. If you want to walk in the law, then walk in those things. She's doing the good things. And then, of course, it says in helping the poor. And I always hate sharing that with our church because we do help the poor. And I think we take pride in that. I'm not saying we shouldn't be proud of that. But what I'm saying is, don't just notch that up. Well, that means I'm good. Not necessarily. But anyway, so she was constantly out of her storehouse of agathos. This was happening. And then the other one is Barnabas, which I love this story too. It says, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy. And he encouraged the believers from his heart to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was an agathos man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in his faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. Here's what I want you to see in his old life here, if I can find it. I only have 4 pages today. Where are they? Ba-da-ba-ba. Well, it's got to be this one. Yeah, it is. So I want you to see something very clearly in this, because this is vitally important. His goodness, Barnabas's goodness, was completely connected to the fullness of the Holy Spirit within him. And I don't want to get in a theological debate about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in us when you ask Christ in your life. There's an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is Acts chapter 2, which some of us are familiar with. Some of us might not be. But here's what's so ironic to me. You have people who don't believe that there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yet, I have friends. Yet they don't believe. Yet they let me. So how can you, let me be filled with the Spirit, speaking tongues every day? But you don't believe. But how can you let me? Make up your mind. I'm either a false demon, right? Or maybe it's real. Oh, I know it's real because I know what it's changed in me. Talk about becoming full. Talk about when you start walking through this, there are times where I am alone just worshiping the Lord in a way that no one understands. You need to understand it was attached to him. And I'm not saying, listen, this is what happened in church. I was raised in the Assemblies of God, so their ultimate goal at that time, I don't know what's going on with them now, but at that time was speaking in other tongues. But once you got there, you had arrived. I mean, you could treat people like doo-doo, but as long as you spoke in tongues, y'all get it. You know, and that's why I did a sermon. I actually had a guy quit being part of the movement that I was in when I just did a sermon on the Holy Spirit, and just because you shun da 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 bun da 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 bun da da doesn't mean you got a transmission working. You know what I'm saying? You can make noise all you want. Paul said it. You can speak with the tongue of men and angels, baby, but you ain't got love? You ain't got nothing. And by the way, you're going to get some fullness in love when that whole, I didn't want to do a theological thing there, but I just found that interesting. So, thank you. You got me back to my notes. Now, here's what I want you to see. The Bible says here, he encouraged them from his heart, not his mind, to stay true. There is such a wonderful thing between the heart and the mind that can happen. And again, I firmly believe this has to do with the infilling of the Holy Spirit in a more stronger way. And that is this. Well, I'll give you the greatest example I can, which happened to me. I was very young in ministry, and I was dorm director, and every Thursday of the first month, I had to teach all of the different, we had three stories of girls, three stories of guys, and they all came on one night, and I had to teach them whatever. So it's terrible. I dreaded, there's no words to explain to you how I dreaded this. And I finally sat in my room and I'm like, God, I ain't playing here. I'm seriously, if you really have called me to speak, I'll do the other. You get it? I'll serve whatever. But if you've really called me to speak, then you're going to have to help me here. That was on a Thursday afternoon. The weirdest thing happened. When I got up to speak, a shift happened in me, and I know it was from the Holy Spirit. I went from being informational to being inspirational. You get it? We can be informed, man. I study the word a lot. I could make me look really smart to you about the Greek words that I know. But that is all set aside if we can't. Barnabas, what he spoke from his heart, man. He didn't say, well, you know, in the Bible it says, so you guys need to. He spoke from his heart. He said, you see it? And he encouraged the believers from his heart to stay true to the Lord. Not, well, you know, the Bible says you're going to burn in hell if you do this. Huh? You get it? No, he said, you realize how good Jesus is and how much he loves you? Man, be encouraged. I know you're going through it, but be encouraged. I know you got tough. I'm talking to you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Oh, my God, stop talking to me. It's too late. Take that little piece I gave you, and seriously, life's hit you hard. Hell has been all around you. Be encouraged. He loves you more than anybody else could, including me, and I love you a lot. How's that? How big is his love? Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my sins. My God is bigger, 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 bigger. Some of y'all old-timers might know that song. Who was it that sang that? Roger McDuff. At Roger McDuff, nobody ever knew that he was a bald man. I'm telling you too, because he had a beautiful fro, but he had different sizes. So he'd put the short one on, a couple weeks later he'd put the next big one on, then a couple weeks later he's like, man, he needs a haircut. So then he'd go back and put the short one on. I'm not playing. What a great guy. By the way, I knew him. He's a great guy. But he used to sing that song, bigger than all my pro. I always do that at the telethon. That's my bad. So, let me stay right here for a second. So now here's what I want you to see right here. Many people were brought to the Lord by Barnabas. Now, remember, he had just been telling the church and encouraging them from his heart, not information, but inspiration. And then somehow, incorporate outside of that, maybe he's sharing about Jesus with other people. It says a lot of people came to him. But here's what I want you to see. Many people came to know the Lord, not because Barnabas looked good, but because he was good. And it leaked from him, from the inside out. Supernatural results come from supernatural goodness. You got no goodness in you, ladies and gentlemen, but he's got all goodness in him. And if you'll stay in him, that's where justification is, then the sanctification of this flowing out of you will flow out of you as long as you stay in him. He is the gas station. Stay there. And I'm going to conclude with this last scripture. Let me set it up for you. Jesus telling the parable, you know, the parable of the sower and the seed and all that. So he's telling the story, and of course the guys don't understand it. They never, isn't it funny? You simplify it in a parable form, and they're like, huh? So Jesus loved them, though. He just explained to them. So here's what he said. Here's what I want you to see, and then I'm done. He said, this is the meaning of the parable of the farmer who's thrown out the seed. He said, the seed is God's word. And the seeds that fell on the footpath meaning been walked over your whole life, represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. Why? Because the seed can't penetrate where we've been walked on. Okay? So, verse 13, the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while and they fall away when they face a little temptation. So he's making it clear to them. And he says, then the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but are all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the stuff they want to do, by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. So they'll never grow to maturity. We have churches filled today that are not mature because they have a taste of Jesus, but the cares of life have got them down. But here's where I told you the whole story for verse 15. And the seeds that fell on the kalos ground, which means fertile, ready to do its thing, grow, that fell on the good ground, represents honest agathos cardia, good-hearted. That's what it means, agathos, heart. Not agathos phronio, which would be the mind. Agathos, heart. Goodness comes out of our heart, not out of our mind. We can proclaim goodness with our mouth, but it will flow out of our heart if it's there. Again, out of that storehouse. So they're the ones, now look, they're good-hearted. The ones that represent the last group, people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. A huge harvest. They produce a huge harvest because why? Because they are good. Not because they can preach. Because they are good. It flows from their goodness. I want to believe that somehow during this whole week of my confrontation with goodness, I want to believe that Victor, the guy that was at the car, who now has a copy of my book, who Gay sat and prophesied over him for about 15 minutes, made it very clear, we might not purchase a car, but dude, we're here because God said you were. Because Victor wasn't supposed to be the guy. I was supposed to see Jared. And Jared just happened to not show up that day. So Victor showed up. Yeah. Maybe that goodness might have stimulated that. Maybe Donut Man out here. He looked shocked when I wasn't yelling. You need to get the picture doing donuts. Squealing like a pig. Me in my office telling God I'm not going out there. I'm telling you the truth. God, listen. Dealership was cool. Love Victor. This guy, not so much. Anyway. But I have to believe that maybe, just maybe, he might stumble in here one day just because, you know, that guy was weird. He didn't yell at me. Maybe. I don't know, but I do know this, that if we patiently wait, we're going to have a good harvest because we have goodness for other people. And again, I'm telling you, you won't have time to sin when you're trying to walk in this sanctification. My wife and I, Charles, it's you. I got to wait up here. He's going to tell the funny. Oh, yes, you are. No, say it. Come on. Say something. Say something good.
Say something good.
Convict much? Y'all stand to your feet, please. You know, it's not easy to listen to the word and try to close out someone else's message because you tend to remember the last thing you hear. So I have to be very careful. The thoughts, I want to give you just a couple of scriptures that came to my mind while he was going through his message. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, the word of God is good for teaching. The word of God is good for encouragement. But it also said the word of God is good for correction and reproof. The word of God is good. And if we get that inside of our hearts, then what's going to flow out? Remember, he talked about that a little bit. James 3:11, can good water and bad water flow from the same source? It can't. Good water and bad water cannot flow from the same source. So if we're taking in the word of God and we're taking in the good, then what's going to come out? The good. Amen. Proverbs 18:21 says, power of life and death is in the tongue. Power of life and death is in the tongue. So I encourage you guys, speak life over every situation you're going through. Speak life to your marriage. Speak life to your health. Speak life to your finances. Speak life to your spouse. Speak life over every situation. Because when we begin to spew the bad, that's what we're putting out there on other people. I've done it to my children, and I'm convicted of that. My wife and I may be talking like, well, they're just this, and they're just that, and they did this. And she puts up her hand, and she says, is that life or death? What are you speaking over our children? Thank you, baby. Forgive me, I'm wrong, and I'll start to speak life. Speak life over every situation. But what goes in will come out. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of that man that defiles him. Speak life. So if we get that word of God into our hearts and into our lives, then that's what we begin to pour out. That's what we produce. Remember, it grows from the inside to the outside. Well, Father God, we come to you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. God, I pray that this word that was spoken this morning, we sink deep into our hearts and come out and begin to produce a good harvest. God, let us speak life. Let us speak goodness of you, of your word, of your son, of the things that he has done in our lives. Let the words of our testimony bring life, Lord. God, we love you so much. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just a few quick announcements, you know what? Can we properly give God praise for five young souls given to Christ? Guys, there is no greater miracle on earth than a soul saved. No greater miracle today than salvation. No greater miracle than salvation. That is something to be praised. That is something you could go out of here and rejoice on every day this week. Thank you, God. You are a saving God. You are salvation. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you for that. A few quick announcements. Men's Bible study tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Ladies Bible study Tuesday night, 6:30. 6:30, they have fellowship and then Bible study Wednesday night, church. Guys, just remember to pray for each other, love each other, call somebody if you need anything. If you don't need anything, call somebody, hang out. Fellowship. We love you guys. Be blessed.